Good afternoon and welcome to the Palmetto Family Matters Show. I'm Randy Page, and we're excited to have you join us for the first in a series of podcasts with candidates for South Carolina governor. As a nonpartisan organization, Palmetto Family does not endorse candidates. However, we are looking forward to welcoming them to our studios so that you can get to know them and see where they stand on issues important to families here in South Carolina. I'm honored to have Attorney General Alan Wilson join us today. General Wilson served under two previous attorney generals, Charlie Condon and Henry McMaster, before being elected as South Carolina's attorney general in November 2010. He is a husband, father, and a colonel in the South Carolina National Guard. Good afternoon, General. Great to have you here today.
Randy, it's always great to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Sure thing. Well, let's get started. Why do you want to serve as governor of the great state of South Carolina?
Randy, that's a question I get everywhere I go in South Carolina. First, let me say this. In my family, public service, a need to give back to our community, our state, and our nation has been something that's been baked into the DNA of my brothers and me. All four of us are Eagle Scouts. All four of us have served our country overseas in the military. I myself am a combat veteran, as you said, currently at rank of colonel. And I was a career prosecutor prior to being attorney general. So serving my community is something that not only everyone in my family does, it's something I've committed my life to do. I love our state. I love our people, and serving our state and serving its people is something I'm very passionate about. As attorney general, I've been in a unique position to see and do a lot of really good things. But the attorney general is a very unique position that can go after things like public corruption. It can go after abuses of law, violations of the Constitution surgically with a knife. I can be involved in law enforcement issues. But when you see something in government that is not corruption, you see inefficiencies, you see fraud, waste, and abuse that doesn't rise to a criminal level, you're limited in what you can do. When you see opportunities for economic growth and development, the attorney general is not as well situated as, say, the governor to basically build our economy, to promote and protect families broadly, not just within the criminal justice arena. And so that is something that I think that I can do. I think I have a unique skill set as a combat veteran, as a career prosecutor, as someone who has led nationally as attorney general. I think I can bring South Carolina from good to great. And that is something that I'm going to want to do when I'm elected governor. And that's why I want to run.
Great. Thank you. And our next question, obviously, we all know that South Carolina is a very legislatively driven state. If you were governor today, what would be three top issues that you'd like to see passed in the 2026 session?
Well, listen, don't limit me to three issues, because let me tell you something. There's a lot I want to do, and I'm not going to hamstring myself to just three.
Sure.
First off, broadly speaking, there's so many things I want to do, but just in no particular order. I believe South Carolina needs to eliminate the state income tax. We need to reform our property taxes and how we're collecting. We need to prioritize infrastructure, not just roads and bridges, but our energy grid. That is a big component. We can't bring in new industry, new businesses if we don't have the infrastructure to see it. We need to reform our education system. Children, by the time they're in the third grade, you can statistically tell where they're going to end up. Are they going to be in a penitentiary? Are they going to be on some entitlement program? I believe that you invest in children earlier. If you don't invest in them when they're in 3K or 4K, you're going to invest in them when they're 30 or 40 years old in a bad way. I believe that promoting and protecting South Carolina's families, our way of life, is something that I also want to continue to do as governor. So whether it's prioritizing infrastructure, reforming education, eliminating the income tax, reforming our property tax system, or promoting public safety and welfare of South Carolina families, these are all the things that I intend to do as attorney general. And I have a plan for most of these things.
Families are a valuable building block for society. What causes or legislation will you champion to encourage and strengthen families in South Carolina?
Well, let me talk a little bit about what I'm doing as attorney general before I talk about what I want to do as governor. First off, protecting families, protecting kids has always been at the cornerstone of everything I believed as a prosecutor. Before I was attorney general, I was a sex crimes prosecutor going after child predators. I went after violent criminals. As attorney general, I've done things like I've quadrupled the size of the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, going online to protect children from online predators. This has led to over 2,600 prosecutions, quadrupled the number of investigators, number of prosecutors. We've quadrupled the number of agencies, going from like somewhere in the 40s to the 120s in the number of agencies in South Carolina that are part of our task force. creating the Human Trafficking Task Force to go out there and educate kids on how to prevent themselves from becoming a victim of human trafficking, as well as going after the traffickers and educating families about that. In addition to that, we have, for instance, right now, I'm trying to protect children in public spaces like bathrooms and showers and locker rooms. We're going to the U.S. Supreme Court based on a Fourth Circuit decision allowing, you know, transgender kids going into bathrooms. I want to protect private spaces for boys and girls, and that is something I've been doing. I've defended people's religious liberties. I have defended the state's right to pass laws that prevent young children from being transitioned to the opposite sex, like being injected with hormones or having basically surgeries that mutilate them. I have defended those rights to the U.S. Supreme Court. I have gone out there and I've defended life. I've not once but twice gone to the state Supreme Court in defending the heartbeat bill in South Carolina. So as Attorney General, I have stepped up in the law enforcement arena. I've stepped up in the religious arena, basically protecting religious liberty and the rights of parents to raise their kids that they want, but also protecting kids. But as governor, there's things more broadly that a governor can do. For instance, in our education system, I want to focus like a laser. I think Ellen Weaver's doing an excellent job. I'm very proud of her. She's a dear friend. But I want to continue to support her efforts to focus on educating children earlier, investing in kids as, you know, 3-4 years old, because by the time a child gets to the third grade, you can almost predict which track they're on in life. And so investing in children at an earlier age is one way. In reading, phonics, math comprehension, things like that is one way to serve families. Another area to serve families is on the educational arena is we have a dual enrollment program in South Carolina, but compared to North Carolina, it's anemic. I want to broaden the dual enrollment program so that it is uniform in all school districts in South Carolina. Dual enrollment allows kids who have the aptitude and the inclination to go out there and knock out general education requirements for four-year colleges or even for technical colleges. And so there are a lot of families out there. Imagine your child graduating high school and they've knocked out nearly 2 years or 2 years of college, possibly even having an associate's degree before they walk at high school. That makes it possible for families living in the margins. That makes education more accessible, more attainable for kids who maybe come from rural areas or impoverished areas that don't get the kind of tax base that other better areas have. So making education more accessible to families so that kids have more opportunity, more options. I don't know if you knew this, but there are about 4,000 to 5,000 kids every year who are being turned away from technical colleges because, you know, when you ask the question, which I asked when I was talking to a technical college president, why are we turning away so many kids? He said, Alan, I can put 35 kids in an English class. I can't put 35 kids in a welding class. Half of them come out missing a finger, right? So the student instructor ratios are different for the technical colleges. So whether it's a kid wanting to get a commercial driver's license, becoming a welder, a coder, a nurse tech, a rad tech, a dental hygienist, whatever it is, let's try to open up the aperture, allow more kids to get those certifications or degrees so that they can be a shorter pipeline from high school to employment. And that is a way that you support families, because when kids, especially kids in lower income families and in rural areas where they may not have as many opportunities, when you give them more opportunities, you give them a chance to break that cycle of that generational cycle of poverty. And that's some of the things that I think I can do as governor. Also, infrastructure. Families are sick and tired of sitting in traffic. And we see a lot of places in South Carolina where the roads aren't being kept up, where the bridges aren't being kept up because of where they are. It's not a thoroughfare to a highly traveled destination, but rural areas can be great incubators of economic development. And we need to make sure that they are adequately plumbed and paved for industry to move into. When the industry moves there, the jobs move there. When the job moves there, the tax base grows, which provides more opportunities for education, also more opportunities for families to grow and provide for themselves. So, for instance, we have the largest landowner in the state of South Carolina is the state of South Carolina. I would like to use that big, pretty green, grassy strip between the interstates, make that a toll road expressway. Let's let people driving through South Carolina pay for it and retire it when the bond is over. But let's open up the roads on I-77, 85, 95, 385. let's bust up that that traffic coming out of Charleston to Columbia, and let's do that with the toll road, and let's privatize it, public-private partnerships, allowing families to get home faster, get home to their kids, get home to their spouses, spend less time sitting on the roads, and then it also opens up opportunities for more industry to come in. And so this is a way that a governor can help families. In addition to all of these opportunities in education and in job growth, the governor can protect our way of life. And as governor, that is something that I would intend to do, to protect and preserve our way of life here in South Carolina for South Carolina families.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, as you know, the legislature this last session, there's been a push by several Republicans to advance bills legalizing casino gambling and online sports betting. At Palmetto Family, we're concerned about the effect of predatory gambling on the citizens of South Carolina. What concerns do you have about this proposed legislation?
That is a great question. It is one that I've thought a lot about recently. I've lived in this state nearly my entire life. And as I said earlier, I love this state and I love our people. And I want to encourage economic development, economic growth, and I want opportunities for all families of all socioeconomic levels. But I want to do so in a way that doesn't compromise the character of our communities here in South Carolina. And I think that we can have both. I believe we as a state do not have enough data and enough information to go forward with legalized gambling and brick and mortar casinos. We need more information. I have seen other issues where other states on another issue jumped out there because they saw a revenue stream. And an example would be marijuana. Okay, marijuana was not just medical, but recreational marijuana legalized in other states. I talked to my counterparts in Colorado, for instance. I talked to police chiefs and sheriffs out there, and they're screaming, for God's sake, do not follow our lead on what we did with marijuana. And he says, yes, we got the revenue stream, but with those policy decisions came a lot of bad things. Crime has gone up. There have been an exacerbation of mental health issues. Marijuana has been a gateway to other things, not just cocaine, but abuse of pharmaceutical drugs. So they're actually having to pay more money on the back end because of the increased rates in crime, the increased rates of addiction, the increased rates of poverty because people are going broke because of the crime rates there. So, I don't want us to see us do with that issue what other states did with marijuana. I'm trying to be a good student of history. So I believe before I could ever be supportive of anything like that, I think we as a state need a lot more information. We need to see a lot more data before I could sign off on that. I don't want to criminalize people in their homes who are, doing a football pool. Right? That's the kind of stuff I'm not after. There are people who are members of fantasy football leagues. That shouldn't be criminal behavior, things like that. But when it comes to brick and mortar, it's another level, and we need to be thoughtful about it. And I have concerns that, that some people aren't being thoughtful. They're just seeing money. And I want to make sure that the character and the nature of our state isn't going to be irrevocably changed because we make a decision too prematurely.
Great. Thank you. Obviously, you've served as Attorney General for several terms. In reflecting on your time in public service, what do you feel uniquely qualifies you to serve as South Carolina's next governor?
So the governor of the state has to be prepared to make very big decisions, very important decisions. And I want to use an anecdote. I have served in combat. Over 21 years ago, I served a combat tour in Iraq. I've led soldiers in combat. I've made life and death decisions. The governor is the commander in chief of the National Guard. I've been involved in over a dozen natural disasters. I was involved in the 1,000-year flood over 10 years ago. So on day one, the governor needs to be able to command the National Guard and understand its resources and its capabilities in anticipating anything that could come, like a hurricane or a flood or civil unrest. I've been there. I've done that at the ground level up. I've also, as I said a minute ago, made life and death decisions. Making tough political decisions is not as hard for me because I've had to make decisions that involved the lives of soldiers under my command. And so I believe on day one, I believe I'm uniquely qualified. Also, as an attorney general, I have served in national leadership positions. For instance, our national caucus, the Republican Attorney General's Association, it's a national association of conservative AGs. I have been chairman of that association not once, but three times. No other attorney general in the history of RAGA, Republican AG Association, has been chairman more than once. I've done it three times. That signifies that my peers see me as a serious person, as a thoughtful leader, as someone who can stand up to the predations and challenges of an aggressive administration like the Obama administration or the Biden administration. They see me as someone that is worthy of leading not just once, but three times. South Carolina needs a leader who can make the tough decisions, a leader who is tried and true and has been in the trenches. You know, people are out there talking about their support of President Trump. You know, and they're saying, well, I was the first one to stand by him when he announced. Like, well, I tell folks, I was in the middle of the Murdaugh trial when that primary was kicking out. I couldn't be there. But what I can say is I defended the president in court, and I had 32 complaints filed against me to try to take my law license. I don't know if y'all knew that, but for 4.5 years, to the tune of nearly $100,000, I had to defend my livelihood because leftists were attacking me. Again, it goes back to, I'm willing to make the tough decisions. I'm willing to lead from the front. And I've risked my life in combat, and I've risked my livelihood in the courts in this country to do the right thing. That is the kind of governor South Carolina needs. That is the kind of governor South Carolina deserves. And I think that's the kind of South Carolina I can be for the people of South Carolina.
That's great. Well, as we close today, how can our listeners get in touch with you to find out more about your campaign for governor?
Oh, that's a great question. And look, first off, if you want to go online and you want to learn more about me, you can go to wilsonforsc.com. That's Wilson, F-O-R, not the number, the preposition, Wilson, F-O-R-S-C.com. If you want to contribute, we appreciate love offerings, but not everyone has the gift of time, gift of money. Some people may have the gift of time.
Sure.
Maybe they want to go door knocking. Maybe they want to put a bumper sticker. You can order stickers, T-shirts. You can get, you know, some of our swag there, but you can also learn about me. You can, there's a video there. We have issues page. You can join one of our coalitions. We have Veterans for Wilson. We have Moms for Wilson, Women for Wilson. I mean, we have all these coalitions that you can join, and I would encourage you to do that. You can also request me to come speak to your church, your Rotary Club, your synagogue, whatever. Wherever two or more gather, I will go.
Very good.
And if I could close with this, Randy. I want people to know this. If you're looking for a governor who is perfect, if you're looking for a governor who doesn't make mistakes, if you're looking for a governor that you will agree with 100% of the time, I'm telling folks this, I am not your candidate. I'm a flawed human being. I'm not your pastor. I'm not your savior. I'm just a guy who wants to lead the government of our state and be accessible to people. So if you're looking for the perfect person, I'm not it. But if you're looking for a governor who will be accessible and accountable to the people of this state, then I'm asking people for the opportunity, just the opportunity to earn your vote. And if you want to go a different direction in the primary, that's fine. I tell people primaries are like big family meetings. We might have an argument, but at the end of the meeting, we all come together.
Sure.
And if I'm not your first choice in this part of the process, I would love to be your choice in the general should I prevail and be our party's nominee. Again, this is an incredible organization that you all have here. I have relied on this organization as my time as AG, and this is an organization I plan to have a very strong alliance and partnership with when I'm elected governor. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be here, and I want to thank all your listeners and viewers for their consideration of hiring me to be the governor of South Carolina.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, General. We look forward to welcoming other candidates to our podcast in the coming weeks, and hope you'll join us for those as well. To find out more about Palmetto Family, visit palmettofamily.org. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and follow us across social media platforms. Leave a 5-star rating and a review on the podcast feed to help others find this and other episodes as well. For all of us at Palmetto Family, thank you for joining us today. God bless.